You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is In the Conversation. It's Damian Lemon on the microphone. On my right-hand side, we got somebody that we're going to announce in a second.
No doubt.
But on my left-hand side,
we got Ali Muhammad, and we are here.
We are in the conversation. Today, young Kamanyo El Capitan is not in the building, but we got a guest.
Special guest.
Sitting in the chair. He's an esteemed writer. He's been in the game for a while. You may know his blog, Until I Get Married. He's also the features reporter, and he does dating reporting for the New York Post. Give it up, y'all. Jozen Cummins.
What's up, y'all?
The crowd went crazy.
I'm coming to your job.
Ooh. Say something in Spanish.
I never even met Vlad, so not coming for your job.
It should be even easier to take somebody's job. We don't meet him. I had no personal ties to that man.
But we won't let that happen.
Nah.
But you can't sit in the seat tonight.
Thank you.
No doubt.
What's good, fellas? How we doing?
Oh, man. Everything cool?
Yeah.
I'm good. Everything's cool, man.
Fresh off the weekend.
No doubt.
Fresh off a Compton weekend. Straight out of Compton.
The Compton 60 weekend.
$60 million. Ooh. Yeah, no violence.
Killing.
Just be clear. No one got shot up.
That was some bullshit.
People might have snuck in the theater to see it.
Yeah, there was that. Nobody.
That shit was real too.
What you mean?
Police in the Brooklyn joint. The police was there searching down and checking his nuts.
Wow.
Not that far, but they were checking all bags and backpacks and shit.
That's that bullshit.
I should have gone by Major Johnson just to see what the situation was. Yeah, usually, they should have security for Madea movie.
They need to get an exterminator. Shout out to Matt Johnson. They got a rodent problem. And let's take care of.
You won't see
allegedly,
me.
Allegedly, just in case, you know, Irvin come through with that lawyer work. Yeah, man, I saw the shit. I saw it in L.A. I saw it in, I didn't see it in Black LA.
Wow!
I wanted to see it in the actual environment.
What's a black theater in LA?
Like, I want to go like to Baldwin Hills,
down
maybe
by
the Magic
Fox Hill,
Johnson.
Somewhere, yeah, Fox Magic Hills. Johnson joint.
You know what I mean? Somewhere like that. I saw it at the Good Arc Light on Sunset, and I'm not gonna lie, I was nervous. Not because it was straight out of Compton, but it was the Arc Light, and you know this is this is a pretty broad theater where shootings go down.
Right.
Shooters have been going down at the broader films.
What that mean?
You know, like white folks, like white films. So for the first 15 minutes, I'm not going to lie, my head was a bit on the turret. I'm looking at anybody that was coming in late like, yo, who the fuck? You know what I mean? But overall, I thought the shit was fantastic.
Nah,
I
no
enjoyed
doubt,
it.
No doubt.
Yeah.
How about y'all?
No, it was well done.
Yeah, man.
It was a great movie. A great movie. I loved it.
I think they just got it right, man. I think we may have touched on a little bit last week, but they got it right. They got the texture right. It's just the little nuances that they paid attention to that normal mainstream movies don't pay attention to.
Like
you know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, when OG Two-Tone got on the bus, right?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's certain hand gestures that black people make when it's the line has been all the way crossed.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You can't see me through the voice, but it's like a snap of the hand. Like when you walk in the joint, it's like, you know what I'm saying?
Tight.
When you get that tight hand snap, and you know, shit, this motherfucker ain't fucking around.
You felt like there was some Negro nuance.
They made a point to, you know what I'm saying? It was a tight shot when his hand snapped. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
They definitely had the tight shot on his flag. You know what I'm saying? All of the flags, when they showed the flags, they always made a point to tight shot the flag, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, each gang had wears their flag on a different side. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? As well as when they did the truce, you know what I'm saying?
Tied up.
They had the flags tied up. So it's just little nuances that, you know what I'm saying, may have gotten skipped over if it was a strictly Hollywood-esque type of movie.
And you got F. Gary Gray, who's from that environment.
Exactly.
So he's going to give it that extra pass. And like, whoa.
Right. Yeah, he's already a good director.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Highly skilled. So for him to kind of come through, I think it was a good reminder or a heads up to anybody who had been sleeping on F. Gary Gray for whatever reason, mm-hmm. that the man can direct.
Nah, no doubt.
I definitely kind of slept on him. I'm not going to say I slept on him, but I didn't really have, I get F. Gary Gray sometimes confused with Antoine Fuqua.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, okay, one of these cats, you know, I think this was a great piece of work, and from what he said this is probably some of his best work. Mm-hmm. I think this, to your point, is a good piece of work to have his name get hot again.
Right.
This brought him back into the conversation. I'll tell you one thing about OG Two-Tone, though, because he said, yo, I'm OG Two-Tone, don't forget. I waited the entire 2 hours and 27 minutes thinking that OG Two-Tone was going to make another appearance, but oh, shit, they got OG Two-Tone.
But
I thought it was some foreshadowing for
something.
But it
probably was a sign. I mean, to me, it was a sign that Cube didn't forget OG Two-Tone.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? Cube did not forget that moment. Okay. You know what I'm saying? That's how I took it as.
I want to know what OG Two-Tone thought of the movie.
Well, he on Twitter. That's his Compton Menace. He a rapper.
OG Two-Tone is real?
I mean, the dude who played him. I don't know if OG Two-Tone the character.
No, I thought the real dude, OG Two-Tone.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? The opening scene.
That was bananas.
That one.
It opened up like a, it's like an action movie, dog. I was done from the door.
Right, yeah. Right. And you know what I'm saying? When I went to watch it with my son, right?
Uh-huh.
You know,
so you saw it twice now?
Yeah, I saw it twice. I'm going to see it one more time just for studying's sake.
Yeah.
But I got to get all these nuances right.
I like the justification for the third. This time I got to go for research purposes.
But so I'm sitting there with my 15-year-old son, uh-huh. and opening scene kickoff, uh-huh. and they come with the battle ram.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Tear the whole house down. And he's like, did that type of shit happen?
Exactly.
He didn't curse, but he was like, did that happen? I was like, yeah, that's how it was. He was like, this was the craziest part. He was like, being a dope dealer back then must have been hard.
I like that.
I was like, being a dope dealer is hard now, but.
I like that he's weighing it out. He's like, well. You know, dope dealing today, these days, these dope dealers don't know
but
how they got
the dope dealers on the record these days.
Yeah, but
you know what I'm saying? It's very easy. It's just, right. You know, I make the money, I get the girls, you know, I buy the clothes, you know what I'm saying?
Even the battering ram threw me off. I didn't know they was doing battering rams like
that. Yeah, that was one of the things you looked on the news back in the day, like, oh, shit.
My
yeah.
question now is if there was no dope in the house, who pays for the crap? Do we get our shit reimbursed?
You know the answer to that motherfucking
fix your
question.
Shit.
If they bust into that house in Detroit, uh-huh. wrong house, kill a little girl, and nothing happens, what you think about?
This is something new. I didn't hear about this.
No, this is a few years ago.
Yeah, okay. Ayanna.
I think I remember.
Yeah. Ayanna Jones.
Right.
Ayanna you know what I'm saying?
Damn. You think they're gonna fix the front of your house?
The whole house. The whole house.
They tore that whole shit down. That was a great movie, though. I liked Eazy-E. I liked the cat that portrayed Eazy-E. I don't know his name. Right. He's a beast, though. Right. And I liked Young Cube killed it.
Young Cube killed it. I don't even like Dre. The whole movie, you know what I'm saying, he was Dre to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, he came in and left out as Dre. It wasn't even a second thought whether or not that was Dre or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked like, I mean, I think the casting was official.
It's up for Suge to me.
I wasn't even mad at Suge. Now, what was your problem with Suge? He didn't look like Suge.
Compared to the rest of the movie, compared to the rest of the cast, you could tell they took the day off with Suge.
And that might have been on purpose. You know what I'm saying? They ain't like they on real friendly terms with Suge.
Yeah. Right. But I thought the kid was. What else did you do not fuck with any of the Suge storyline? Because I heard
the storyline was cool. You know what I'm saying? I just thought that the Suge character looked like Key from Key and Peele in the face.
Even
looked like Key in a fat suit or something.
I was even surprised they got. Ice Cube's wife looked like.
His real wife?
Yeah, his real wife kind of the woman that played her in the movie kind of favors her, as does, I haven't seen a good picture of Tamika Wright, but Nicole Nicole, Dre's wife, also looks like her.
But you know, they made sure. They made sure to get that right.
Yeah, come on now. They can't get hit about that at the house.
Now, right. MC Ren, on the other hand, didn't look like MC Ren. That nigga ain't had no lines. They had MC Ren as a mute.
They had MC Ren looking like a straight hype man. Even DJ Yella. DJ Yella was funny. Yeah, DJ Yella was the comic relief.
He had some lines. You know
DJ Yella. Even DLC had lines.
Yeah, he did. DLC can't even talk like he used to be. Well, never mind. He talking again. Sorry, guys. What they did leave out, though, if you go on Gawker and if you scroll through Twitter.
Yeah, if you're just on any social media platform.
On the internet, period.
There is a lot of... there's a lot of outrage. I don't want to say outrage, but there's definitely, some outrage.
And concern.
Concern. A lot of how it was given the revisionist history in the way that NWA is notoriously misogynistic. We do know this. Mm-hmm. And there have even been specifically domestic issues with Dr. Dre as far as putting hands on D Barnes of Pump It Up fame.
Michelle A,
I think that's his ex-wife, you know, and maybe even his current wife or ex, or Nicole, I don't know where they stand, but.
Damn, you don't put that on it.
Well, I feel like that's been on the net. I'm like, listen, all of this is allegedly. Listen, I'm telling you.
I didn't hear that one.
Don't kill a message. That's what I'm hearing. But, what did y'all think about that? How did you?
I mean,
feel
they skirted over quite a few little things, you know what I'm saying, and that being one of them.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I'm saying, people are, you know, the women are taking them to task about it, but they one-lined a lot of things, and that was one of them. Like when, because I felt like the introduction of Dre's wife and even Cube's wife to a certain extent, it didn't really. You know what I'm saying? It went nowhere. It was just like, yeah, why they were just
there.
Yeah, like why they introducing this story. But now after all of this stuff is coming out, I think this is my own personal you know, thing is, I think they put at least Dre's wife in the story to show that when he got with her, he changed. Mm. Yeah, I guess that's what
she did address it though.
She did address it. That was the one liner. Right, it was the one liner. Well, you know, you got the death row and this assault thing, and then that was that. And then
this assault thing.
Hold up.
Could you please just say this assault thing just a little bit? We really want to hit on this assault thing.
Go heavy on the assault. Yeah, this, emphasize.
This thing.
This is all we're going
to
do.
We need you to emphasize this thing because the thing's pretty heavy. We don't get into the thing, but we really want you to deliver this assault thing. Okay, could you do? Okay. And action.
This assault thing. Okay.
All right. Great.
Back to the pool party.
Ali was there. We were at the premiere, one of the many screenings that they had. I feel like they had so many screenings of this film. But
that's when they know it's hot.
Yeah. But it was an interview between MC Light moderating it and then F. Gary Gray and the people who played. F. Gary Gray, Ice Cube, Cube's son, and the two actors who played Dre and Easy. And the question came up, why didn't you include D Barnes? That came up with Kieran Amaya from Ebony. Yeah, but she mentioned her source credentials.
Yeah.
Like, came up there and said that out front so that everybody knew.
I'm an OG
and I'm an ally. Right. You know, I've covered y'all, but why not? And I think everybody was very high off of the movie at that moment.
Yeah.
And people were kind of like, come on, don't
hit him rain on the parade.
Don't hit him with the okie doke right now. And then F. Gary Gray said, there could have been five different ways you could have made this movie. Mm-hmm. This is the way we chose to make this movie. Mm-hmm. And that was, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, like they didn't need to get into all of that. But the more I read about this stuff, the more I'm like, you know, what would have been nice is to Gary Gray to say, you know what? We shot those scenes and they're in the director's cut. Like, there was nothing in the script. There was nothing in the.
You know they ain't shooting.
There
that
was
shit.
Nothing ever acknowledged when they were putting it together. And that's their right. They have the keys, so they can go ahead and drive the car where they want to drive the car. But I will say that everybody that's bringing up this and saying, I don't want to see it because of that, I have an issue with that, that's legit.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely legit.
You can fail your way and exercise, you know, the right to protest.
But it was really funny about the Dee Barnes article in Gawker that you brought up. She pointed out the fact that F. Gary Gray was the videographer on the controversial shoot that she did with Ice Cube. So, you know what I'm saying? And she goes further to say that, insinuate. I'm not sure if she really says it or she just insinuates it, but that they had footage of NWA dissing Cube that they had shot before, but they didn't use on the show. And Cube went in the trailer with F. Gary Gray and some other guy that worked on the show. And she insinuates that they showed them what NWA said about Cube. And then that's when Cube came out and said what he said about them, which they eventually aired and caused the whole controversy.
Yeah, but the Gawker piece is good because, for one, we finally get to hear from Dee Barnes instead of a bunch of people speaking.
Is this the first time she's spoken since that whole thing?
Probably since.
Yeah.
Really?
It's the first time she's spoken since, and then she watched the movie. That was a hook. Like, they didn't just, they said, watch this movie.
Yeah.
And then tell us what you think. And she gives props to the movie. She says the movie was good. She says the dude who played Dre was incredible. You know what I mean? But she has her own story to tell. And at the end, you know, at the end when they have the little writer's bio, it said about how she has written this book. And she's still looking for a publisher.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like, so F. Gary Gray, members of NWA could talk about how hard it's been to get this film made and to get some respect at the box office about Hollywood. This woman hasn't. Can you imagine that Dee Barnes went and tried to get a movie made about her?
Nobody. Yeah, that's sad. Yeah. You know, it's fucked up, man. It's one that, I don't even say it's hip hop, though. It's one of those things. It's definitely a dirty secret in hip hop. There's domestic abuse. There's domestic abuse
in
that every culture.
Every culture.
And it's very hard to. It needs to be told because it obviously happens, and you don't want to dismiss these people who have been hurt or been, you know, harmed by that. And these stories need to be told. It's just obviously, I don't want to say obviously, but it would have surprised me if you've got the people who actually did the abuse to include that in a story of themselves like that.
Well,
you know, it's very hard to make yourself look like the villain in your own bio. Right.
Because, you know what I'm saying, when you see it, it's a whole lot different than when you're in the situation. And, you know, Ike wasn't going to tell the story.
Nah.
Ike wasn't happy with the Tina Turner story.
Yeah, right. Sure.
He has become synonymous with domestic
with
abuse.
Ass whipping.
Yeah. He's the, you know what I'm saying, he's the face. Open it up, Ike.
And I think, the other thing is that for my issue at first with people that were taking issue with the exclusion of all of that stuff was that we've known about this for a long time. And if you care at all about the history of this music and the history of this group, then you wouldn't need this big budget Hollywood movie to tell you what actually happened. But I've kind of backed off of that a little bit because, like I said, people that take issue with it, I think it's your duty to, especially if you're a journalist or you're reporting on this stuff or anything like that, and you have any kind of platform, if you feel like that is what's missing and you want to hold it accountable, then you have a right. Then you have a right to do it. But to be fair, it has been out there. And when people are like, "Well, why are they just bringing it up now? Like, this doesn't make any sense." Everybody, like Dee Barnes, is an opportunist, and which I've seen. I hate to dignify like basic retorts with the response, but I will say that this is just how the media works. The fact of the matter is that who knows how long, like we just said, it's been a long time that Dee Barnes has been trying to get her story out and she can't. And now she probably can. And that's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
But this is the way the media works.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a story unless like, Dr. Dre does something huge or big or something like that. It's not a story unless Ice Cube does something like
some traction.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that, you know what I'm saying, in some of the interviews that I've seen with that Dre has spoke on, I think that was probably one of his concerns coming into this was that, you know what I'm saying, do we really want to open up these can of worms?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And because, you know, there was a lot of drama in his life, in their life, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's a lot going on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That they skipped. You know what I'm saying?
But you, I mean, you know, history isn't going to remember you as the bad guy. No matter how you want, no matter what you're afraid of, you're going to die mega rich, and you're going to die with a legacy that's behind you, that's strong, where you will have more fans and detractors. I think that there's something to be said for somebody who can look back on their life and really, really like admit their mistakes. That, right. You know, he spoke adamantly about it in the in the Rolling Stone interview, but I don't know. Yeah. You know, maybe if this isn't the only film that gets made or something like that, there's some way to at least acknowledge, because you got away with it.
Cats don't truly acknowledge when they truly fucked up until they almost dead.
They have to. And it might be the point where he just might have to.
Yeah, you just
But, you know, he got enough, you know, like he said in Rolling Stone, he's like, man, I ain't got to make another dime in this lifetime.
Yeah.
Right.
So he might feel like he don't have to do shit.
He didn't have to make another album.
Right.
Yeah.
But he did. It went number two. But
he said he never had another one album.
I ain't shoot that shot at him. What, number two? Is that what you shot a shot at him? You caught that? I didn't even know what it was.
Kind of surprised.
But he said.
Who did go number? Who went number one?
I want to say Toby Keith.
Yeah. Ooh, Toby Keith. But, you know,
but to be fair to Dre, his was only on iTunes.
That's what I was wondering. His was only on Apple. And I got to, if I'm Dre, I'm kind of looking at that situation like, man, if I would have let it go to every platform and everything, he could have gotten
not when he's a shareholder in Apple. Like, yeah, come on, true. Like, what the very fuck? True.
He probably
fuck
gets
them album sales.
Probably gets 8 points.
You know what I'm saying?
8 points.
Listen, man,
he's fucked up.
He's
though.
Vested.
Probably has that Universal Cash Money kind of situation with that.
Toby Keith got a franchise of sports bars that do be popping. I've been in Rosemont, Illinois, and that shit was off the chain. Shout out to Toby Keith. Do your numbers. Anyway.
But, you know, when you speak of people having a right to, you know, chime in on the points that they felt was missing, I came across a thread on my Facebook that was basically, you know, asking, you know, why don't we talk about the possibility of Eazy-E's queerness? And I was like, that's out of the blue.
I didn't know that one.
You know what I'm saying? No, because he died of AIDS, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, that's a high possibility that he might be queer. And would that diminish his legacy or how people would react to that?
Well, that's speculation, though.
Definitely speculation.
Well, why speculate in the man's biography?
You know, this is what people out here saying.
You know what's interesting?
But, go ahead.
You know what's interesting? Eazy's son. Uh-huh. I remember a little easy. Yeah. I remember reading this in Vibe.
Mm-hmm.
When I was there, he said he don't even think that he went in with AIDS. He feels like the doctors injected.
Right. I mean, that's been speculation.
You know, so
too.
Why don't you just say that? Like speculation on speculation.
Definitely on speculation.
Like,
but when it did happen, that was the first thing people was thinking.
Oh yeah, because it was
Eazy was gay.
It was fresh off of Magic Johnson.
Was it before Magic?
Oh, it was before Magic.
It was definitely like
80s. It was like 89.
No, it was 93.
It was before Magic, but
Magic was 94.
Yeah, but it was before Magic, and you definitely didn't really know too many people with it.
And he died fast.
I
remember he announced it, and then like 2 weeks later, he was dead.
So during that time and that moment, it was like, damn, was Eazy gay?
He had 14 white blood cells. That's what they say in the movie. I don't know if that's true.
T cells. T cells. Supposed to have at least 500 to compete. Right. Just to come out the gate, you need to have 500 suited up.
I should have laughed at that, but I
don't do that.
But when I read that thread, it did point me to one of them one-liners in the movie.
Uh-oh.
What's that?
What he says, you got to stop fucking everything?
Nah. Oh. Remember when he went to meet Suge? And then Suge got in his face, and then he was like, don't make me change you, nigga.
Oh, man. I don't see. So you found it, felt like he got it. Nah.
Nigga, what the fuck does don't make me change you supposed to mean?
I don't know what that means. Don't pull something with all that stretching you're doing.
I'm just saying.
You're doing Suge speculation, which is level 10 speculation.
That's barbershop.
So Suge is gone.
I'm just saying what that line was supposed to mean, though.
It sounded like it was one of those, like when Iron Sheik says, I will humble you. It's one of those things where I'm going to, you know, I'm going to. I'm gonna do some things that you didn't really want done to you.
And, you know.
Well, I mean, that was, oof. Anyway, know, man. I will say this, though. The dude that played Easy played him so well that I fucked with Easy. Because when I was back, I was growing as a kid, I was never really the biggest Eazy-E fan. Eazy-E kind of felt like the villain. Eazy was the little villain. He was paired off with Jerry Heller. Felt like they were shitting on everybody else. I was a huge Ice Cube fan, so whatever Cube said about Eazy, I wasn't fucking with Eazy. Mm-hmm. So it made me kind of look at him. And over the years, when I've seen Eazy-E and the real Eazy-E in interviews, and to hear what he was talking about, I felt like he was a little smarter than what I gave him credit for. He had some business acumen, you know, and he was about empowerment. And I definitely think that this Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, he was about empowerment. He was about, he really had a lot of love for Compton.
Right.
Yeah, like there was that one scene when they brought in the New York group. Right. And they were like, what's Compton anyway?
Let's see.
And they were like, whoa, hold on.
It was like, this Jerry Curl shit.
You see, that was another one of them scenes where I'm talking about where he identified the real shit.
With the Henny bottle.
With that Henny bottle.
Yeah. Little dude.
Anyway, when he sneaked with the Henny, they made a point to point that out.
Yeah.
he was creeping with that Henny bottle.
Yeah, but that was, people forget, like, you know, Compton wasn't on the map in hip hop terms before
Compton
that.
Compton didn't exist.
It wasn't forget, even.
And the that
arrogance did not exist.
Of a New York rapper.
Yeah.
New York was the center of the universe.
And they were going to. Where hip hop lived.
They were going to humble them real quick, those New York rappers. So, yeah, those subtle touches were dope. It was treated like a big budget film. And I got to say, feels good sometimes to see the stories that matter to us being put on that level.
Spent some money on.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, like there were no, I thought I was going to walk into some VH1 made for TV.
A bunch of green screen.
So, you know what I'm saying?
After school special.
Yeah. Right. right. Nah. Only time it felt like that was when they had Tupac. That Tupac.
You think Pac looked like Pac?
He looked like Pac.
I felt like Pac looked like Pac. I felt like Snoop sounded like Snoop.
But he did not look like him.
He ain't always look like Snoop. He sounded
he
a lot
sounded
like
him, but he didn't look. He looked
look
a thousand
this.
Years old.
I want to say this about the backlash about women in the film. I will say two strong female voices have spoken about it. Oprah tweeted Ava DuVernay and was like, yo. Have you, what did she say? She said she just saw, I'm going to read the tweet. I don't want to go ahead, though. Oprah says to Ava DuVernay, just saw Straight Outta Compton. Powerful.
Yes.
Powerful. Have you seen it? You know, and then that was her tweet.
And she tweeted that to Ava?
To Ava. And then I listened
Ava
to
Ava got the juice.
Ava hot in the streets. I listened to Ava DuVernay. She has a podcast called The Call-In. I was checking that out. And she had F. Gary Gray on there.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I didn't know about Ava is she's from Compton.
Oh,
so, yeah, she grew up like in that same era.
Right.
And she asked F. Gary Gray, like, yo, you know, speaking honestly, how'd y'all deal with the female issue?
Mm-hmm.
And F. Gary Gray, I want y'all to listen to what he said, but basically the synopsis of what he said was, listen, you know, he did this one. He was like, listen, you know, we've been slaves for about 400 years. He said, you know, we just started telling our stories, so you can't look to the artists to always make things right. He said, things that happen is just, that is... You got to look at the macro before you look at the micro. You know what I mean? So he hit him with a little bit of the shimmy rope and dope. And I guess they gave each other that South Central leeway. Said, all right, brother, I'm going to let you shine.
But, now I'm going to go make my own NWA movie.
Exactly.
And it's going to be...
D-Balls, Pump It Up, Part 2.
Drag all y'all motherfuckers.
Fatality.
And she's going to have the whole internet.
Isn't it surprising how Oprah Winfrey...
Yeah.
She's come around on hip hop.
Well, I mean,
she don't even like the N word.
Right, but a powerful story is a powerful story.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
And maybe she got a little insight that she wanted to ignore.
She should just say she don't like broke rappers. That's what she said. She don't like.
Yeah, she like Jay.
She don't like Ludacris, but she like.
Yeah. You trying to say Luda, bro?
No.
She had beef with Luda, though.
She had beef with Luda. Luda. Yeah, she didn't like him.
But you know, that's like Oprah almost. I mean, Oprah's grandma status, kind of. Mm-hmm. No disrespect. I mean,
you let
grandma like what she like.
Yeah,
I like this record. I thought you don't like hip hop, grandma, but I like this record.
I like this one.
All right? Now, don't put too much on. I like this one. Play it again. Like, all right, well, grandma.
I like that Snoop.
That's exactly
I like that Snoop Doggy Dog.
For some reason, grandma loved Gucci Mane. She do not.
That's exactly how it goes.
Exactly. Let your grandmother like what she gonna like.
No doubt.
Oh shit. What else, man? Blacks on the screen, man. It was a big weekend. Big weekend, had the Power finale.
Yeah.
Y'all gotta catch me up.
Oh no, man.
No, not really.
But you gotta catch up on Power.
I gotta catch up.
But Power is some actual, that's some dope TV.
It's popping. What did you think of this finale, though? Because I feel a way about the finale.
You feel a way?
I feel like.
I feel a way. I think, you know what I'm saying, they reached a little bit at the end, but you know what I'm saying?
They didn't make any, they took no real strong chances on the finale.
But they left so much open that they could have enough material for next
season. That's what I'm saying. They played it safe. Yeah, they didn't want to get rid of nobody.
Nah, they kept everybody.
Like, whoa, let's make sure.
You know, 50 wasn't going to kill himself off.
50 too hot. We might have to keep him around. 50
like, this is popping, so yeah. I definitely need to stay involved.
As long as I'm bankrolling this, I'm on the call sheet.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's even bring Holly back. Why are we bringing Holly back?
Why are we bringing Holly back?
I thought for 1 second that I thought Ange was going to get it for a hot second. You know, I thought it was going to be something drastic was going to happen.
Only motherfucker got it is the co-worker.
Who's the co-worker? Which
Angie
one?
Co-worker.
He got it?
The one that she dissed, that she threw under the bus.
Oh, but he didn't even get it for real. He just kind of fucked up in the game. He's still alive.
No, nobody ain't.
Even Lobos. I don't want to fuck the whole shit up for
Lobos,
the people.
I ain't get it. I mean, everybody else in the crew, all the gangsters gone. Except for my man who we put on the plane.
Oh, right, my man.
The Puerto Rican.
Yeah. He said, yo, get up out of here, because shit about to get fixed.
I wonder why he kept him around.
I don't know.
Maybe going to give him the seat at the table that he was looking for, huh?
That's the thing. It's kind of unclear. No. This is the thing about what we're talking about, because I kind of don't want to fuck up the spoilers, but I do feel like at this point, man, let's talk
freely.
You
done opened it.
Let's talk
freely. You done opened the floodgates.
My thing is, all right, we left thinking that Ghost doesn't want to do this anymore. Ghost right. is fully out of the game.
Right.
He's cashed out the game. He spared one guy who's not about truth business. Mm-hmm. He's about that dope.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy about that dope.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He told Tommy, listen, Pop, you got to find something new.
Mm-hmm.
Homeboy hollered at Tommy, said, listen, Tommy, I got it all. I got anything you need. All you got to do. Just do what you got to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be interesting.
So, I mean, you know.
That was a roundabout.
I mean, fucking. You just said a whole lot.
Did I say anything?
You said a whole lot to say nothing.
Yeah, trying to spin it around.
But Turtle told him if he wanted to, you know what I'm saying, lead the game, he had to get rid of, he had to step away from everybody that he knew and loved.
Who's Turtle?
The
oh,
lawyer.
Turtle from the lawyer. Right.
What do y'all like about Power? I'm going to just...
I like the fact that it's gritty.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's got a little bit of attention to detail. I just like to see. I like to see black.
It's
folks.
It's very good writing.
It's decent writing. They keep you around.
Did they shoot it in New York?
I think pretty sure.
And
That it's really like it's not. Like, you could tell it could be a set, but I'm pretty sure it's New York. It's not like New York as a character.
They shoot at Steiner. A lot of it's Steiner, but then New York is a city. But the thing about it is that it's that story about the dope dealer that a lot of times they touch upon, but they don't really go deep into.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the story when you want to get out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically Stringer Bell's character in The Wire, if they went in depth in Stringer Bell.
Right.
And that's who Ghost is. Right. Ghost is Stringer that they go in depth, and he's the lead, and they go into his story of trying to change and get out.
The only reason why I've never watched it is because it's on Stars, and I never did that extra thing that you got to do to kind of bootleg it or whatever, or just get it on. I should.
It's worth it.
I should, but
it's worth. I mean, it's worth it. I see
my timeline heating up now.
Do y'all
watch it with the timeline?
I watched the finale with the timeline, even though I had the finale's available in the morning. My lady watched it in the morning.
I watched it at 12 o'clock Friday night.
Damn. I waited till 9 p.m. on a Saturday like a cornball. I watched it with White America. Everybody on my timeline probably saw 3-4 times. I sat down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it in the moment. It's great writing. It's another good story. It's like the dirty version of Empire.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Whereas the Empire is like for Fox. The Empire is damn near like the Brady Bunch meets Fantasy Island. Right. You know what I mean? It's great too to see all people on screen and doing their thing. But this one, people get shot in the head. It gets a little bit more gully. It's good to see.
And then it's good to see, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's like the whole 70s thing almost where you get to stick it to the man. You know what I'm saying?
Ghost
always, you know what I'm saying, gets to stick it to the man and he in charge. You know what I'm saying?
That was a good payoff. He finally got that off. Because for a minute, I was like, this kid here is just shitting on you. That was cool.
He got that off.
And on the low, Stars is kind of coming up. Like, they got Survivor's Remorse.
My boy, my homie watches that and loves it.
It's funny. They call it LeBron-tourage. I love it, though. It's funny, man. It's a good show.
Better than Ballers?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
I guess, the season premiere.
Finale.
They tagged it on. They tagged the season premiere of LeBron-tourage to the end of the finale online.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay. Yeah, when you watch it online.
Next season, because I know it's coming back.
Coming back to the 22nd.
Yeah, so they...
Whatever, I don't know.
They let you see it to get you hooked.
Yeah, they let you see an episode of it. I was like, okay. Right.
It's just funny. I like it a lot. I love Tashina Arnold, love Mike Epps, the new cats they got on there, you know, like the up-and-coming cats. They're funny, too. It's a good show.
Cool.
Tiana Paris is on there from Mad Men. Do y'all know her?
Nah, but she was the first black character on Mad Men.
She was the first to play Dawn, and she was also in Dear White People. She's dope.
I know exactly what you're talking about. That's where I know her from, the Dear White People thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Ballers. Ballers is cool.
It's all right. It's like Entourage.
It's a good 24 minutes.
Yeah, it's a good 24 minutes. It's the same episode every week. Yeah. It's like, look at these cars, look at these women, look at this money, look at the credits. We'll see you next week.
It's an Instagram show.
But I feel like we're being rude, man. We got a guest in the house.
No doubt.
We haven't even really talked to this man.
We talk with him. That's even better.
Yeah, that's better.
We brought him into the fold, into the conversation.
That's all we have to do.
Oh, man.
I ain't nobody.
Being too humble now, brother.
Nah, man.
Let's talk to the man. I got a question.
No doubt.
So, you're the dating reporter at the New York Post.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let me say this before I even go to the questions. Let me just salute you.
No doubt.
Your consistency with your blog. Like,
thank you.
Every day since, what, 05?
Oh, no, 09.
Oh, no.
09.
The 6 years
But
strong.
When you do it, yeah.
Every not no bullshit JPEG right. with a little, li- no,
a
like,
little
word count shit, 300.
Yeah.
Really, like exposition, real talk.
No doubt.
Like 6 years.
Yeah.
Committed.
You became the relationship dude.
You worked your way into that. You earned that.
Thank you.
You were selling relationship advice out your trunk.
Out the trunk.
Out the trunk.
Before Steve Hawthorne.
You know what I'm saying? How do you feel? That's my question. Now, relationship dating reporter / relationship expert, dating guru. Those terms can set you up for martyrdom when people don't find love.
Oh, yeah.
How do you deal with that?
I just take it one step at a time and deal with try to deal with each situation on a personal level. Because when people, it's one thing for people to get into my blog and read me and read the stuff that I write and care about it on that level. I always appreciate that. But then when people start opening up to you.
Yeah.
because
you're the man.
Because of what you said, it's an exchange to them. Well, mm-hmm. you know, you gave me all of this stuff in your bra, so I'm about to give you all of that, mm-hmm. all of this back. I can do nothing but try to pay attention and listen to them and treat that with some respect, because then I don't want to make anybody feel like they wasted their time in the first place.
Right. What do you mean? What are they giving you that you don't want?
I mean, just,
you don't want to hear that shit.
Give me an example of too much information.
I'm trying to find some shit.
Hey, Joseph, let me tell you what happened with this one chick I hung on.
I deal a lot with people who feel like their situation is, one, unique, and it very, very rarely is. Mm-hmm. And then two, just having patience with the process. I got to a point where I knew that everything that I said to a person, they were only going to take what they really wanted. And mm-hmm. most of what they were going to take was just stuff that they already agreed with before they even started talking to me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when people seek out some sort of relationship advice, I try to give them something that's constructive and something that they can work with, but it's very hard because it's so obvious to me sometimes when people have checked out or just people right. are going to walk away and, right. and basically, yep, not going to do anything that that man just said, you know, because I usually, when people come to me with some sort of, you know, need for relationship advice, I always ask them, I want to know what happened that mm-hmm. led you to that got you to this point.
Right.
But I treat with as much respect as possible, right. you know, people opening up to me and talking to me about these sorts of things.
Right. But
so you're saying people don't even want it. They barely listen to what you're telling them.
Yeah, but they barely listen to what their friends telling, what their mother tells them.
But that happened with the trainer. That happened with everybody. You know, the nutritionist.
Exactly.
The diets. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I mean,
you know. You say the pastor.
Shots fired.
Different coat. Listen, let me ask you this, though. I got a question about that. What you said, damn, it just went that fast. There's a question. Go ahead. I'll cut you.
But, you know, my thing is, when I saw you doing the blog, I saw the response from mostly the females.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They got into basically your story.
Right.
Of you know, your thing is until I get married, right. your whole story of mm-hmm. dating, and mm-hmm. you're sharing your dating stories until, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, until mm-hmm. you go to the altar. Mm-hmm. Like, how was it, you know what I'm saying, transitioning from just being private, regular, you know what I'm saying, dude, to sharing all your shit?
It was too easy for me. You it makes you want ask questions about yourself. Like, mm-hmm. why do I not care about being this private? Because all my friends hate it. They'll hate anything in which they were on the peripheral.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yo, be careful with that story.
Put me out on Front Street,
right. Lateral damage.
With all your sharing.
Right. And they're not even
your sharing.
And they were just there. They weren't even doing anything. You know, the story usually comes back.
Snitch ass.
Jermaine was there too. And he wasn't there with his main woman.
You know I got a red shirt, man. You need to stop. Stop describing me.
Go ahead, but you felt comfortable doing it. Why?
I felt comfortable doing it. I think for one, it was a response to a lot of the stuff that was already out there. A lot of these guys out here, I didn't come up with the first dating relationship blog. There were guys mm-hmm. out there that had it before me, and then there were guys like Steve Harvey already had the book. But what I felt was lacking was accountability, and that was really getting on my nerves. Because I was like, how are we going to tell women or even men what to do? And we can't even admit what we've done wrong, what we've done right. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I find that if you just, the payoff was that I think I was looked at as somebody who could approach this with some level of humility
mm-hmm.
and at least being humble.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like you don't have to always look like the winner.
Right.
You know, you don't have to look like the guy that had it all.
Be vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly. Being vulnerable makes you accessible to a lot of people.
And makes you a better pimp.
He's so sensitive.
He's so sweet. Oh my God.
Let me ask you though.
That worked in my favor for a long time. Like just a payoff for being that vulnerable was not something I expected it to be.
The payoff was what? Explain. Talk about that payoff.
The goods.
That vulnerability payoff.
Well, okay. So you know, I think that it made guys more willing to admit that they read that stuff, and it didn't make it. You know, guys felt like they had a friend. I'm talking about guys that didn't know me, being told, you know, maybe I've met a lot of guys through their girls who were like, yeah, I told my guy about your stuff. Or guys had just told me, yeah, a girl put me onto your stuff and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so, you were popping with the ladies on the
internet. So that was cool. And then the other thing is yeah, like if I met somebody through the blog, which I had done, a few times, and what happened was there was a lot of surface level conversations. Like we would just get into the deep conversations right away.
Right.
Because she felt like she knew me.
Yeah, she felt like she knew me. Right. So we didn't have to talk about all that other stuff.
He was like, babe, you already know the discography.
This man got his own private person Hello Cupid. So private personal Tinder.
So I noticed that things moved at an accelerated pace because
they felt like you've opened up to them already.
They felt more comfortable.
Right.
And that's all. You know, I don't think even women are going to like object to this. All women want you to make them feel is comfortable with themselves and with you. Right. You know what I mean?
People in general.
Yeah, people in general. That's all we want to do is like get through the facade and the bullshit and then end up, you know, feeling like we know one another.
Right.
I got a question for you. I've noticed, I think we've talked about this before, a lot of beautiful women. Gorgeous women, they have this narrative. It becomes their narrative now. Like, I can't find anyone. Right? They're gorgeous. You could tell dudes are falling all over for them if you just look at them on the physical. And sometimes, I don't want to cast a wide net, but I've seen it sometimes when, not to say that they don't have much personality, but they let that dominate what's interesting about them. They're like, oh, wow, Susan, who's attractive, can't seem to find a man, and that becomes her thing. Like that becomes what she talks about every time you see her. Hey, let me tell you how hard it is finding a man. That becomes their character. I want to know: have you seen that? Has that been heightened now that there's all of the social media where you can share your relationship status and things of that nature? And then I got a second question: is it truly harder being single as a woman? Or is it just the same as being single as a man?
So with the first question, I think that what we're starting to see more of through social media is men being more vocal about wanting women with personality.
Yeah.
And wanting women who are actually interesting. And hopefully the women are listening, because I think that women don't give men the benefit of the doubt when it comes to what we want in a woman. They don't understand, like when we say we want a woman with, you know, they think, oh, all y'all want to do is find something to stick your dick in. I mean, most of a lot of men don't have a problem finding that. That's pretty easy to find. When we talk about we want a woman with personality, we talk about wanting a woman that we want to stay for a while. And so women don't I think a lot of women are misunderstanding men when we say that we want somebody with a personality. Don't get me wrong, we want it to come in a pretty package. Attraction is key. Attraction is necessary. But women have to really understand, and I don't think that any woman is so naive that she doesn't know why she's getting the attention that she gets. Of course you know why you're getting all that attention. But you have to understand that personality goes a long way. Personality is what separates you from the next pretty girl. And if you don't harness that and use that to your benefit, then you're really missing out on the point. And you have to understand that your personality, if you lead with your personality, you also have to understand that that ain't for everybody. You know, and that may not be for the guy that you're dating at the time.
Yeah, they might not like your person.
Yeah, but don't change it up. Yeah. You know, too often I see women trying to reassess who they are after a man decides that they don't want to be with them or something like that.
Because they're trying to get shows.
Exactly. And so, like, well, what did I do? And it's like you should ask questions about what kind of guy he is.
Exactly.
And establish that, but because that plays a role.
I ain't no relationship expert.
Okay.
None of that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But just from my own personal experience, you know what I'm saying, coming up, one thing that I did notice about women, girls, even as a, you know, as a teenager, then as a young man and, you know, dealing with young women, is that women, they don't like to, a lot of times don't like to ask a lot of questions. And as a man, you could skirt through relationships or friendships or however you want to classify them without ever having to really talk about no real shit.
Right.
You could fill a relationship up with things to do.
Just be there.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's go to the movies. 2 hours, you know what I'm saying? Go eat. And you don't really ever have to. But one of the key things as a man in looking for a woman was me asking the questions about life, just life questions, and then comparing them to the actions. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, that was a key component to my whole dating situation is I'm going to ask these questions, and over time, I'm going to see how the answers that she gave me then play out to the actions that, you know what I'm saying? And it seems like, you know, with women, a lot of times they don't do that, and it leaves them in a place where they think they have something that they really don't.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think guys are doing much of that either. Like, and I say that because, you know, a curiosity about the world around us is crucial to.
That's the key
to life. But too many men think that they got to be something else and got to impress women in the most basic ways, and then too many women don't demand enough by asking questions. Like you said, and not engaging with the world in a way that goes beyond the surface. And what that causes is for, you know, when I was really like actively out there dating, I found being myself to be almost too impressive. Like, in the...
Oh, wow. I was like, I was too much for these.
I'm too much.
I was killing
them. Killing them out here.
They ain't never seen a motherfucker like me.
Woo! Holla, pop your collar.
Oh, man.
Because, well.
Listen, babe. Yes, it's me.
Yes, nigga, yes.
Yeah, man. It's cool. It's cool. Oh, man. Yeah.
No, I'm introspective and...
Hey, came through introspective on these women.
I came through introspectively on them.
He looks so within.
No, yeah, my unfortunately, my
unfortunately
inner struggles become outer struggles very quickly. Like, I'm quick to put that on somebody.
Okay.
So you speak on that.
You put
heavy
that.
Problems on the table.
Speak on that.
I'll give you the best example of that I know, which is like the first date with the girl that I'm with now. Mm-hmm. And that
ain't no, by the way, she went to see Straight Outta Compton.
Yes.
She was there with us when we seen it. Not that we went together, but they was there, I was there.
Okay. And
I met her.
She is well, the first date we immediately talked about, not immediately, but about, you know, we were having a good time. 2 hours in, we started talking about our relationship with religion. You know, and I,
something to avoid on the first date.
That's a deep ass first date. Right. Boy.
What you think about
Jesus? You introspective as fuck.
but that came out that I was like, man, we talking about this already, you know? That was my fault. I'm pretty sure that I said something to bring it up.
But on the flip side of that, She shook the whole shit up, though.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
She set the fucking tone for this shit. She like, I'm not letting you slide through with your little blog posting shit, motherfucker. With your deep introspective blog post, you know what, motherfucker? You gonna talk about some real shit. She hit your ass upside the head. She broke you down. That's why you still with her.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Wait, you just met her? You just took her? No, that's his girl. That's his girl.
To Compton? Okay.
No, no.
Right, that's, so y'all been together for how long?
A year and a half.
Oh, yeah, that's his girl, girl.
Shout out to Gina. Peace, peace. Listen, we got to get out of here, though.
Is it?
Yeah, we got time to go because we started a little late, so we got to get out of here. We got to get out. We got 5 minutes. But I want to ask this one question. I got this one question, though, because I want to get to this. Hood anxiety. Now, Gina.
Right.
Gina. That's hood, name,
everybody,
right?
This
now,
is the hood anxiety segment.
Hood anxiety. You know, if you listen to In the Conversation, you know we got hood anxieties. You know, just things that you hope don't pop off.
But they just might.
Every day, right. Struggles. Now, we read, our producers and all of us read a blog entry you wrote about you being out with your lady.
Yeah.
And another dude tried to holler.
Which
is a hood anxiety.
That's always a hood anxiety when you out with your lady.
Yeah, and we want to know how you handled your situation.
Tell us about it.
So we were at a party together, and she was just chilling on the couch, and I was minding my business, doing my thing elsewhere in the apartment, helping my man. Actually, he lost his wallet, so I was helping him with that. Mm-hmm. And I know about the hood anxieties. I live in Harlem. I'm very aware of what can happen if you leave your girl alone for like 2 minutes, whatever. Yeah. And the apartment wasn't big. I was able to like keep my eye out.
And
so she was sitting on the bed, and then I just see this dude sitting to her.
Talk about him. He had
the holler position, and I wish y'all could
talk about the holler position. You know, where people, they know. Talk
okay,
to
okay, so if you're listening at home, sit down and then put your forearms on your knees, right? Uh-huh. Imagine you're sitting on the edge of a bed next to a girl,
and then turn your head to your left,
uh-huh. kind of with your
keep
shoulder,
your shoulders straight,
you know
though.
What I'm saying? Up, and then just start saying anything in a whisper.
No doubt.
That came by yourself.
And that's basically what he was doing. So I saw that, and my girl wasn't giving him any sort of rhythm. Her head was just down, looking at the floor. You could tell she just wanted him to really be quiet. So I walked over to her. Uh-huh. Like I usually do in these situations, I don't even confront the man. I assert myself by going to my woman. Mm-hmm. And so I went to her. I just said, "Hey, you good?" And she was like, "No." She was like, "Yeah, I'm fine."
Help me.
The dude.
What if he was like, "Yeah, she good, homie.
She good, mother."
What was funny was
the dude looked at me and he acknowledged me, but he asked her. He said, "Oh, is that your man?" Mm-hmm. He didn't even ask me. He could have been like, "Oh, is this you?" But he instead asked her. Oh,
straight disrespectful.
And so I just inserted myself and said, "Yeah." I was like,
"Is this you?" The common phrase used among,
"That's you?
That's you? Oh, my bad."
He didn't even give him a "my bad." Tell him the story.
So I was like, "Yo, what's up, man? My name is Josanne." He was like, "Yo, I wish you weren't even here right now."
Wow. He let his inner monologue get the forefront.
And I said to him, "Well, it really wouldn't matter. She would choose me anyways."
Which was super gangster when I read that. I was like, "Damn, go ahead."
And then
y'all had some old deep shit going on.
And then Gina said,
a sword fight.
And Gina, with her head down, put her head up and said, "That's right." And then he just had to walk away. Ooh. So That's how I handle
but then you got the, you told that story.
Then I told that story on Facebook, and I was surprised because a lot of brothers were saying, "Oh man, that wouldn't have been me. Mm-hmm. You better than me. I would have given the 1-2." You know, a lot of stuff like that. But you
that's
just
too much.
No reason for them.
You won it for
you. You won that battle.
I thought I did.
I thought you did it cool. I thought you won the battle. I thought the fatality was, And even if I wasn't, she would choose me. That was extra dialogue. That was you turned the sword on.
That surprised me. You know when you say something at the right time.
That was like, very pimply.
Now, here go the thing. How'd your girl act when y'all walked out of that room?
Oh, she acted just fine. She always chooses me.
Did she give you the pat on the back like, yeah, this is my nigga right here?
Nah, she always. That's an expectation from her.
Okay.
The expectation is for me to handle myself to keep myself together because she doesn't feel like why you fight? I'm not going anywhere.
Right. So I guess that's the relationship tip of the show. You know what I'm saying? Hold your shit down because she ain't going.
One thing
nowhere.
I said
trust
in the
bomb.
One thing I said in the post that was obviously a test, but the test wasn't to test my manhood, so to speak. The test was. How much are you going to be true to yourself in times of duress?
Right.
And I think I passed that test. So you got to ask yourself, be yourself.
Because you could have whooped them and then went to jail.
Yeah, or
and then
you know,
she would have left you while you was in jail.
Would have just caused a lot of problems.
This motherfucker done lost his job. He in jail. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, would have just caused a lot of problems.
Jose, tell the people where they could catch you next.
Jozan C Twitter is where I basically talk every single day like I have no job and that is where I make all my announcements. Until I get married.com is basically the blog. You can find me there anytime.
There you go.
Word up. All
right. Where you at, Muhammad?
Oh man, I'm on set shooting this my first TV ad.
Ooh.
On Thursday, so I'm preparing for that and trying to blow that out the water so I could be telling some big screen stories and getting $60 million at the box office.
I hear that. That's what it is. I'm gonna be at the Stand tonight on the 10 o'clock show. I'm also at the Stand on Thursday, Stand Up New York on Thursday. Back at Stand Up New York Friday, the Stand on Sunday, Stand Up New York on Sunday, and you know I'm popping actually. So go to DamianLemon.com to find out where I'll be. Got a lot of shows coming up this weekend, and as always, tell a friend to tell a friend and tell your enemy to listen to In the Conversation. We out. Peace.